Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
What's up, everyone? I'm Kristen Cavallari.
And I'm Stephen Colletti.
We're so excited to announce Dear Media's new podcast, Back to the Beach with Kristen and Stephen, where we'll revisit all of your favorite episodes of Laguna Beach, the real Orange County, and unveil behind-the-scenes secrets, tea, and all sorts of new insight into this groundbreaking show. So join us every Tuesday.
Available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm already feeling nostalgic.
Welcome to Real Pod. It's your host, Victoria Garrick, and this is the podcast where we hold nothing back.
Oh, so we're getting deep, huh?
I really cried for 12 days straight.
Why do I want to be perfect? There's nothing in my life that is perfect.
Every week, I'll bring you honest, unfiltered, and eye-opening conversations to help uncover the real in all of us.
I crave the type of content that you're talking about.
I actually felt insecure.
Oh my God, am I going to cry?
Let me just unload everything.
New episodes every Wednesday. Leave those filters at the door because it's time to get real. Okay, do you want to hear something I did that is just absolutely, I mean, it's just, it's wild and it was just so silly of me. Okay, and it's Real Pod related. Don't worry. You're like, Vic, what is this going to be? So our guest today, Sadel Curry Lee, was actually on this podcast once before, but you didn't hear it. And why didn't you hear it? Well, it's because Sadel and I recorded an hour-long conversation on Zoom. Okay. And we get to ending the conversation. I'm like, thanks so much for coming on Real Pod. You know, great interview. I go to stop the recording. There's no button to press stop because I never pressed start. And she's still on the Zoom and I'm like 1 sec, I'm going to stop. I felt so bad. I had to like in real time, it's not like she left and then I could be like, I don't know, maybe make up some excuse. Like I lost the file. I had to like in front of her be like, I never pressed play. I'm so sorry. Nothing was recorded. So mortifying. And I am now like slightly traumatized every single time I record with a guest on Zoom that I check everything's running smoothly. But she couldn't have been nicer about it. Could not have been nicer about it. And that says so much about a person. Like, I feel like someone could have been like, oh my God, like that's my time and I'm not going to come back on. And like, you messed up. She was so nice about it. And we re-recorded and our re-recorded conversation you will hear today. But yeah, I just thought that was like kind of a funny-ish story. And I mean, just a reminder to go easy on yourself. We all make mistakes. We're juggling a lot. There's so much going on. If you forget to turn in the assignment or you forget to study the scouting report or, you know, you forget that question your boss asked you to email them the answer, like we're human and humans make mistakes. And that was a human mistake. And yeah, I just wanted to let you know because I thought it was good context for our guest today. Now, I know you probably heard the last name Curry and you thought Steph Curry, Seth Curry. Yes, it is true. Those are Sadel's brothers. However, Sadel is her own person, and she is actually a former athlete. She was a volleyball player. Shout out volleyball players. She played for the Elon Phoenix women's team in the CAA conference. She is now a mental health advocate and social media content creator. She's a new mom, so she posts a lot about her experience raising her newborn baby, Daxon. She has her own podcast called Because Life. And I just love her. She's always real. She holds nothing back. And today, Sadell is going to share with us what new mom life is really, really like, and also married life. I get some advice, and we dish on the aspects of family that people don't always post online. So this is a great one. Before we get started, quick shout out to Lex, who left a 5-star review saying, "Bestie alert, I don't read, but How to Break Up with Your Friends is the best book. And the Real Pod interview with Aaron Falconer was everything. Real Pod is my favorite podcast. Love you so much, Vic." Lex, I love you back, girl. And thank you so much for listening to that episode. It was such a good one. I also don't really read, but I also read How to Break Up with Your Friends because, like, what a great topic and something we do need to know. And it is important to filter through the people in your life. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, scroll back. It was just a couple weeks ago. It's called How to Break Up with Your Friends and Reevaluate Your Roster with Aaron Falconer. It's a can't miss episode. Thanks for the review, Lex. I so appreciate it. And thank you to everyone listening right now. I know you have many choices and many things you could go listen to. So I very much appreciate that you're here at Real Pod. And if you want to leave a review, you just might be the shout out on next week's episode. Without further ado, let's dive into this episode with former college volleyball player, new mom, and mental health advocate, Sadell Curry Lee. Sadell Curry, thank you so much for coming back on Real Pod. I feel like we should just tell everyone what happened. So sweet Sadell finds time as a new mom to come on my show. I mean, big guest, notable person. We conduct a 45-minute conversation and then we finish and realize I never pressed record. That was brutal. But you know what? Everything happens for a reason. Maybe we now are going to have a better conversation today. Who knows?
I mean, honestly, there's been a good amount of time in between the last conversation and this one. And so, you know, it's probably a lot more has happened in between. So I think it might have been a good thing. But I love a good dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
I like a good run through. So maybe that's what that was for us.
Yeah, I feel that. And I also want to ask too, like, you're so kind about it and understanding. And I feel like there could be people who, you know, just have a bit more of an edge of like, my time is super valuable. How do you make a mistake like that? Have you always been someone who is forgiving and compassionate in that way? Is it because you work in the mental health space?
Yeah, no, I mean, I never ever want anyone to feel like bad about something that I do or just leave like spending time with me on like a negative note. Like, cause I don't like leaving people with a negative note. Like I've always just treat people the way you want to be treated. And I also think that I do, like, it was an honest mistake. So like, I can't really be mad at that. And even if I was mad, which I was not, I'm not gonna let you know because I don't believe in making people's days even worse. Like that, just especially because you were so apologetic. So that's how I always am. I don't know. But I really didn't feel bad at all or mad at all.
Well, thank you. I love that. And I feel like, yeah, I would have been the same way. And yeah, humans make mistakes. So if anyone out there screwed up a project, screwed up something like that, just know that I'm doing the same thing. So how have you been?
I've been doing well. You know, I think I'm obviously in like a really huge part of like my postpartum journey right now. My son's 4.5 months. And so I'm still kind of in those early new mom kind of thing. And I started getting like 10 hours of sleep at night. Well, not really. I put him down. He gets 10 hours of sleep, which means that me and my husband get 5-6 hours of sleep. And that has made such a difference. Like I'm in such a completely different headspace, emotionally, physically, mentally, like I'm doing so well today. I mean, every day is different, but I've been consistently doing really well like the past 2 weeks or so. So yeah, I'm doing good.
That's great. And actually, I remember the last time we spoke, you were not really in a great place. I think it was maybe 2 months ago. So Daxon must have been 8 weeks or 10 weeks old, something like that. And you were talking about, I think it was postpartum depression a little bit and what that was like. And honestly, because you're so genuine and real and you share so much and being a mom, that's something I don't know. And I think it's something a lot of people don't really understand. Like when you tell me you're happy to be sleeping 5 hours a night, I don't think we actually compute that's still insane, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not one of those people who thought that I could survive like or live like a happy life without like as much sleep as I used to get. But your body adjusts somehow. Like when you go from only sleeping, you know, 1 to 2 hour stretches to a 5 hour stretch, it makes a huge difference. But yeah, it's like once you're going through it, you don't really have a choice but to like roll with the punches and just start creating this new normal for yourself. Yeah. When you have a baby and they like just smile at you and you can see that like they're your whole world, it makes it all worth it. And I definitely think that like my postpartum depression really kind of clouded a lot of my early experiences that I don't like using the word should. My therapist tells me to stop
using
the word should because you set not unrealistic expectations, but everyone's different. So there is no should. But all the early experiences that, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, I love my baby at like the newborn age, or I felt this instant connection with my baby as soon as I had them. Like I can say it 100%. Like I love my child. Like as soon as he came out to me, like I loved him. And like, I knew I needed to protect him and like give him the world. But I did not feel this like obsession until like 2 weeks ago. I was telling my sister-in-law this actually. I feel comfortable telling her about it. Well, I'm kind of telling the whole world now. So here you go. If you feel like this, like you're not alone.
We're ready.
I was not obsessed with my kid for a long time. Like he's 4 months, 4.5 months. And at 4 months, I think is when I started being like, oh my gosh, like I want to post about you all the time. I want to talk about you all the time. I want to do everything with you all the time. Like before then, it was just kind of like, all right, let's just get through this day. Let me feed you. Let me make sure you're sleeping. Let me make sure you're happy and all that kinds of stuff. But it wasn't like, oh, like you are like my burning desire. And I think that postpartum depression really clouds that. Sleep deprivation can really cloud that. And it's okay to, you know, not have the same experiences as everyone else. And you shouldn't feel bad. This is when I will use the word should. You should not feel bad for that because you are you're still a human being, mom or parent, anyone with a newborn, you're still a human being. And a lot like who you were before you had a baby, you're going to miss parts of that. You're going to miss that person because sometimes that person just completely disappears and it's really scary. But although I kind of feel that bad, like I'm still dealing with that guilt of like not kind of remembering a lot of like his early life because I was just such in a dark place. That just makes me appreciate where I am now and where he is now and like really, really be locked in and tuned in to the good and the bad. So yeah, it's definitely been a journey.
All right. Whether we like it or not, the first day of school is right around the corner. The summer has flown by, but the good news is Macy's has the outfits from brands like Levi's, Free People, and Mango that are so good that the kids will want to lay them out the night before. So if you are a parent, take them shopping at Macy's for that back to school outfit. If you are able to take yourself shopping for back to school outfits, Macy's has you covered, and they've got brands like Birkenstocks and Nikes. I mean, Birkenstocks just came out with like the new cutest. Oh my gosh, I'm glad that I'm thinking of this right now. I'm going to go to Macy's this weekend and get my Birkenstocks because I've been wanting to buy myself a white pair for a while now. And aside from shoes, no first day at school is complete without a backpack. You need a backpack. Oh my gosh, remember how fun it was to go get a backpack for a new school year? Well, Macy's has tons and tons of options. Not to mention, if you are going to college, you can get dorm essentials like bedding, beauty blenders for the makeup savvy, Fitbits to make use of the campus gym, if that's something you want to do, cute decor. I mean, go to Macy's.com/back to school right now. That's Macy's.com/back to school for all of your back to school essentials. Don't sleep on that first day or first week at school. You want to feel confident. You want to feel in the zone and ready to attack a new school year. So head to Macy's.com/back to school. That's Macy's.com/back to school. Our next sponsor today is Karma Water. And this blew my mind because listen to this. I didn't know that the vitamins and probiotics in pre-mixed drinks and like kombuchas deteriorate over time. So like those are like pre-mixed. So the more that they sit in your fridge or they sit at the store, all the good stuff deteriorates. Whereas Karma Water stores the probiotics, vitamins, antioxidants, and adaptogens in a patent protective push cap that infuses the ingredients just seconds before drinking. It's actually really fun. Max and I just got a box of Karma Water. And you use this push cap. So you just push your thumb down and then bam, all these nutrients are delivered at peak potency into the water. You shake, 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 and you can deliver the greatest health benefits to you. Just peel, push, and shake. They have so many flavors as well, like strawberry lemonade, which is my personal favorite, berry cherry, kiwi melon, blueberry lemonade. Ooh, blueberry lemonade. I should try that because if I like strawberry lemonade, I bet I would love blueberry lemonade, and tropical coconut. The brand currently has two lines, Karma Probiotic Water and Karma Wellness Water, which are each formulated to deliver distinct wellness benefits in a variety of natural and tropical flavors that I just mentioned. And exciting news, because Karma Water is also coming out with a CBD line later this year. I will definitely need to try that. Karma Water is vegan, non-GMO, gluten-free, lactose-free, as well as free of preservatives and artificial colors and sweeteners. So if you had food sensitivity or food allergies, hopefully you shouldn't have to worry about anything with Karma Water. Receive 20% off a case of Karma Water now when you go to drinkkarma.com/realpod. That's 20% off if you go to drinkkarma, drinkkarma.com/realpod to receive 20% off a case of Karma Water now. Now, do you feel like because you previously struggled with mental health issues, something that you're a huge advocate for, which is why I love following you and have for years now, you talk about depression and anxiety. Is that something that like makes you more likely to have postpartum depression? I mean, what have you learned with the psychologist you've worked with and your experience? Because I kind of feel like I'm going to have that just because I'm like prone to being depressed, I feel.
Yeah. So one thing that I do kind of feel bad about when I, in being so open about my postpartum experience, is that I feel like a lot of people, I've gotten a lot of DMs like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. Like, I'm so scared of having postpartum depression. Like, it sounds terrible, or postpartum anxiety. It sounds terrible. And so I want to tell you and everyone else, or anyone else that's feeling nervous, like, don't be nervous, because like, even if it happens, like, you're going to be okay. Like, you'll get through it, because as long as you're working to get through it, you're going to be okay. What I will say is that postpartum depression and regular depression are like two totally different things. For me personally, they've felt emotionally very, very different.
Can you describe the differences for us? I'm curious.
Yeah, I'll try. Postpartum depression is like 10 times worse. Don't be scared, but like,
don't be scared, but it's way worse than you've any depression you've ever experienced.
Only because someone else is depending on you fully. Like, you have someone's whole life dependent on you fully. And so for me, like, me and my husband have tried for years to have a baby, and the day finally came, and I like wasn't quite enjoying it that much. And I was like, well, why do I feel bad? Like, I feel terrible about feeling terrible about having what I wanted. And like, this baby didn't want to be here. Like, he didn't ask to come into this world. Like, we wanted him. We literally willed him to be here. And yet I'm not super, super excited about it right now at this point. And that adds on another layer of just guilt and like sadness for me. When it comes to like just regular depression, when it comes to non-postpartum depression, you don't have the weight of someone else's life bearing on you. You have friends, you have family who are all, you know, affected, can be affected by your depression and are worried about you. But like, it's like a little baby. It's a helpless little baby who loves you and needs you, but sometimes you're like, I could really do without this right now. Like,
right.
I think I'd be okay if I wasn't a mother right now, you know? So it's just a lot more self, not deprecation, but just like a lot more guilt and worry and burdens.
Right.
As during postpartum. And so to answer your question, or your other part of your question, I don't know if you deal with depression or any other mental health disorders, if you'll automatically get postpartum depression or anxiety. because they are just two different things. Like, they're just complete for me, they're two totally different things. I kind of was expecting to get it, but like, I low key wasn't expecting to get it because I was like, oh, I know what depression is. Like, I know how to, I'm preparing for it. I'm making sure like my friends and family know the signs for it, but it still happened. But I do know people that have had postpartum or that have had depression that did not have postpartum. But I know that's different with every kid. Like, some people can have it with their first kid and not with the second, or vice versa, and so on.
There's also so many unknowns, right, of how to be a parent, how to be a mom, and seeing kind of the highlight reel or the expectation that you are, your child is supposed to be your world. And I know you've been open too about like the breastfeeding being difficult. And obviously, I'm speaking from a place of like, I can only imagine, but I think this is an important conversation to have. Like, even though I'm not planning to have kids for a few years, just talking about it so that when someone does decide to get to that place in their life, there's so many things you can't know and can't prepare for. So mm-hmm. to even just get yourself thinking about it a little bit. And, you know, with breastfeeding, I would imagine you'd feel like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this thing that, and then you see other moms who quote unquote like latch very quickly. So mm-hmm. what was that like for you? And did that kind of play into the disconnect, you think? Like, you felt like you weren't connecting with the baby?
Yeah. So for my breastfeeding journey leading into it, I was like, I'm going to breastfeed, because we didn't go through quote unquote natural conception journey.
It in vitro?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was an in vitro baby.
I love meeting other IVF babies because it's just like, look at what my
grew up to become a star, you know? No, I'm kidding.
No, seriously, it makes me so excited. Like, you know that the first baby to be born through IVF, like, just turned like 40 this year?
Really?
Yeah, it's like a still very, very fairly new science like thing.
Yeah, I'm always like, I was born in a dish. Where are you at?
Exactly. So yeah, it's like a very, very new thing. So I love seeing like, you know, or meeting
IVF babies,
babies that are like, I mean, obviously, even if you're not like famous or whatever, like, but still, right. I like meeting the famous ones. I'm like, oh, okay. Future Dax gonna be you.
I love that.
So yeah, I was like, I want to breastfeed. I want to have that really natural experience, since I didn't get to do that with having like conceiving. But nobody tells you how difficult it is to feed your child, period. Like, period. And I even said that with like people who do formula, because I'm in like a mom group, and I've seen so many of their conversations about how they can't find the right formula that sits well with their baby's stomach, because babies are like so sensitive to everything because their digestive systems just aren't developed yet. And so there's like the worst thing about newborn, people might say the sleep. I say the sleep, but also like just the gas. Like, they're fussy all the time because they just can't digest things all the time.
Just so always just farting and burping and puking.
Well, no. Well, yeah. But like, when they can't fart or burp, they get upset. Like, they get sad. I get angry and they cry and they fuss. And so that was really difficult. But anyways, breastfeeding has been difficult for me and my personal experience, because I didn't have all of the quote unquote signs that I was producing milk, besides like my son. Like, Daxon was giving me signs that I was producing milk. Like, he was going to the bathroom, he was gaining weight to a certain point, but I didn't have engorged breasts. I didn't have any tingling that they say you're supposed to have. I didn't have any leaking. I didn't have any of that. Like, my breasts just felt like flat all the time.
Could you pump?
And then I would pump, and then I would like, there'd be a little bit of milk, but not like a freezer. You know how people have like their freezer stashes,
right?
Like, freezers full of like frozen milk. I would not have enough for that.
Wait, and not so, to sexualize the pregnant body, but like, I'd be kind of bummed if I didn't get those juicy ass tits when I was pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what's the,
yeah,
like,
I get them now, but like early on, I was like, somebody told me I was supposed to have big, like, I was supposed to be able to not wear a bra and my boobs look like I'm wearing a
right. A, like, you kind of want the goddess pregnant big boob body, right?
I wanted triple D's. Okay. Like, yeah. Bring them on. And I did not have them at all. And so, and then you go to the doctor and the doctor's like, oh, well, baby's a little bit underweight or like not on his curve. And then immediately you get sent into this like, oh my God, it's my fault. I'm breastfeeding my baby. He's not eating enough. it's my fault. Like, he's not gaining enough weight. That's all on me. But I'm doing everything I possibly can. I'm taking supplements. I'm pumping around the clock. I'm feeding. Like, I'm doing everything I can possibly do, everything that everyone's telling me to do. And yet my baby is still, quote unquote, underweight.
I have never been a parent, so I know I can't say it. But when people are obsessed with the like percentiles and the growth, I'm like, this doesn't matter. I'm like, the way that you hear, I mean, I'm sure it does to an extent, but people freaking out about that stuff always makes me giggle.
And it, because it's like stemmed from doctors. Like, doctors are like, because there's this curve, like this growth chart, wherever your baby is born, their weight, they start on a curve, as if all babies and all people are the same. And if they skew a little bit above or a little bit under the curve, like, start supplementing with formula or start like pumping more. They're not eating enough. They're not getting enough. And it's like, first of all, sorry, I'm like venting, like, yes, I'm gonna rant right now, because it's just really frustrating, especially as a first time mom. And the only goal you have is to keep your baby alive, well, and fed. But I would just say, breastfeeding mamas, like, take it easy on yourself. Like, you're doing a good job. If it's causing you, though, if it's causing your mental health to plummet, it's okay to reconsider a different feeding method. I think that I can full 100% say that I think my postpartum depression was centered around my breastfeeding journey and like stressing out that Daxton wasn't eating enough and I was doing him a disservice. But because I'm like super stubborn and competitive and just would not give it up until, you know, I exhausted all options.
That's the athlete in her, people, volleyball players. You know how we are.
It is. It was very much athlete in me, and it worked out. Like, I was able to accept certain things. Like, I'm able to accept, you know, sometimes I have to give him a bottle of formula or whatever, but I'm still breastfeeding. I'm still doing majority of breastfeeding, so that's okay. But I do feel like if I would have stopped breastfeeding earlier on, I probably wouldn't have gone so deep into my postpartum depression, but it kind of was worth it.
Right.
I don't know.
It's also helpful, Sadel, just because you're like, just being so candid about all of this, which I think normalizes it for anyone experiencing something different. And then also for people who haven't had kids or don't know, they're hearing a different side, so they don't have to feel as much of a failure or like something's wrong with them when something like this doesn't happen. Now, I also just want to ask how you have been at least, or trying or succeeded in striking balance between being present for all of the new baby moments, still having your own career, still being a wife and a friend and a sister and everything that you are. I know you halted your podcast, which I'm sure was hard for you to do because that was like your baby and a passion project. I mean, how do you go about putting up those boundaries and making decisions to keep your cup full?
Yeah. So my mom's always preached to me and my brothers, like, what are our priorities? Like, we have to have priorities. We have to have certain things in order to, you know, really feel like we're living fulfilled in a sense, and we're giving to each thing what it deserves. And so when it comes to my family and my son, like, it's always going to be first, 100, like, always. My husband comes first, and then my son comes second. I believe that to be able to raise good children, the person that you have the babies with, who happens to be my husband, we need to be on the same page, and we need to be doing well to pour into our children. So my husband will always come first. My child will come second, but together as a family, they're number one.
Wait, can I dive into that? Because I feel like there's people thinking, oh, the kids got to come first. Like, so does your husband say you come first too?
Yeah. Yeah. We're on the same page with that. Obviously, like, we're Christian. So God, and then my husband, and then my child. But I don't know. I really believe that me and Damien, my husband, decided to have a baby together. And if we're not on the same page, or if we're not pouring into our own relationship, we're not setting an example, even at Daxton's early age, for what, you know, a relationship could look like. And then we're not being able to pour in together, you know, to our child and be on that same page. Like, it's, especially for my husband, it's really important. He was raised by a single mom. She did an amazing job with him. Like, what is that saying? Salt of the earth. Like, he's just like an amazing person, but he always missed that, you know, seeing his mom and dad together, like, and being raised by both of them. And so he wants to give that to Daxon, but we have to be, like I said, on the same page to be able to do that for Daxon. But does it mean that, like, our son means less to us than each other? It's physically impossible for us, at least, to, like, not be 100% about Daxon. But yeah, it's just, we always keep each other first because we are the base of our whole family.
I'd like the clarification of, you're not saying you love your son less. I feel like it's that type of relationship where you love people so much. I mean, I can't even think about who I love more between my parents or my brother. You know, it's so yeah. hard.
Yeah.
So that makes total sense. I'm so glad that we covered that.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to being, you know, having a career, which is still so important to me, and when I had to take a little hiatus from the podcast, it was a really hard, difficult decision for me, but I knew it was something that was kind of inevitable because I just can't half-ass things. Like, for me to feel confident and proud of something, I need to put 100% into it. And I really wasn't able to do that. So probably, like, I was supposed to go on maternity leave, like, in November, and we were still, like, recording and stuff. And my head was just, like, thinking about the fact that, like, I was about to have a baby. Like, what the heck? Like, I was just trying to prep my mind, my body for having a baby, but still, you know, trying to put out as much content for the podcast as possible. And my baby came, and then it was like, oh, but we need to do this, we need to do that. And I was in the depths of postpartum depression. So I was like, listen, like, I wasn't happy. Like, I usually am so excited to come podcast and, like, talk about my life. And I also wasn't feeling like I was being super genuine because I feel like people come to my podcast to hear about my life, but also get something and, like, have some takeaways that are going to be helpful to them. And I was in such a deep, dark part of my life when I stopped the podcast or put one on a hiatus that I just felt like no one was going to leave the podcast with any, like, positive takeaways because I didn't really have a lot of positive things going on. Like, I mean, my son was a positive. I just want to put this out there. I'm forever grateful for my son. Like, it's never going
Sadel,
to be a thing.
I'm on the same wavelength as you. I know you would throw yourself in front of a car for your baby.
Literally.
You're just saying the things that people don't say because they're afraid to be viewed as, oh, you're not, like, a good mom. That's not the case. She's yeah. saying what everyone's probably felt or thought.
Yeah. So I just want to put that out there. But I just felt like I wasn't in the right frame of mind. I wasn't excited to come podcast. And so that's questions that you need to ask yourself when you're doing anything. Like, is it bringing you joy? Marie Kondo, it's not just about, like, your house or your room or your clothes. It's about your life as well. If it's not bringing you joy, life is way too short to, like, keep doing things. And my podcast used to bring me, it still does. Like, I have a book full of, like, topics that I'm going to talk about when I come back. That's another thing. Like, I know it's always going to be there when I need it and when I'm ready to come back. But at that time, like, I just felt like I wasn't able to give 100% to my baby and myself. So I took a little hiatus, but it's okay. And then when it comes to the rest of my life, like, I'm very privileged, very thankful to have, I have a nanny that comes and watches Daxon for a couple hours a day so that I can get work done. And that was always a priority for us because my job is super important to me. My identity is very, very important to me outside of, you know, my husband and my baby. I still want to be, like, more than just a mom. And so, yeah, I think, like I said, figuring out what your priorities are and finding ways to, you know, give to each thing.
It's so refreshing to hear all of that. I have been trying to tap into it in my life as well, because at some point you just have to pull your head out of the kind of rat race for success and for more, more, more in life and think, like, when does this end? And I just started with a new therapist and we're trying to talk about, like, how do I want my life to look and how do I want it to feel? And that's going to take changes. And just this morning, I'm sure you can relate to this as a content creator, but I got a brand deal offer, an awesome partnership, awesome deal. Who would say no? This is the only summer leading up to a wedding. Like, I want to be present. I have the luxury to have worked hard enough and found success that I can dial it back and be okay. So I need to. And I know I'm going to send this email that says, I appreciate you working on this. While it sounds great, like, I'm not able to accept it. And I know I'm going to get a pushback on, are you sure? Well, how can we make it work? And you know what? The answer is just no. It's no. Like, I can't. And then I'm not going to have the experience I want to have this summer. and you're going to let people down and it might not make sense. And it maybe I'll never get this deal again and I'll be like kicking myself, but I don't know that. And I do know now I need to slow down. And it's hard. I bet it was so hard for you to tell all of your listeners, yeah, I won't be recording, and I'm not even going to be able to give you a date on when you can expect me back. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought long and hard about that, but the last thing you want to do is say, oh, well, I'll be back April 14th. And then April 14th comes in and they're like, okay. And you're like, no, I'm just not there yet. And yeah, so you keep them on the thing. But I think that like you saying no, we can put these, what's meant to be, will come back around in different aspects of our life, in our personal life, in our work life. And it's okay to like start asking companies, I guess, from content creator to content creator, to see you as a human being. Because even as content creators, we're like lifestyle content creators. Like our lives are our job. And you got to kind of accept that for what it is. And I think that, you know, when in the world that we live in today, we're also starting to see, not just as a content creator, but as like in general, that people are starting to like value me as a person. Like I am not a robot. I'm not a machine. I have priorities. I have feelings. I have all these other things that are going on. And it's wrong to expect people to operate without, you know, the human aspects of them. And so I think that like we can't expect other people, companies, colleagues, whatever, to view us as humans and as actual people if we don't start operating as actual people. And I think that's what you're doing.
I agree wholeheartedly. And one more thing I want to add that has helped me say more no's is from Dr. Vinita Sandhu, who I had an episode with her on boundaries. It was great. And she said, saying no to something is saying yes to something else. So mm-hmm. saying, no, I'm not going to do this brand deal, or no, I can't do this extra work, is saying yes to self-care. It's saying yes to time with family. And mm-hmm. I think that helps overachievers who hate saying no and feeling like, well, then I'm going to do nothing. It's like, no, you're not doing nothing. You're saying yes. This no is a yes to something else. And so that helps. This episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens. Yep, you guessed it. Y'all know I love Athletic Greens. Max and I drink it every single morning. It is an absolute must for me to start my day. So what is Athletic Greens? Well, Athletic Greens is a greens powder that contains 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. They give you a little scooper. It's really cute. You scoop up your powder, you put it in your cup, you add water, and you drink it. And then you can go about your day knowing you've given your body so many important nutrients as your base, right? I don't like to take a lot of supplements. I don't like to take a lot of vitamins. I don't want to worry throughout the day of am I eating this? Should I have a salad for lunch? Like I just want to intuitively eat. So in the morning, if I know I drink my Athletic Greens, I can check off this mental box of like, okay, I gave my body the most important nutrients. And now I have this awesome starting point for the rest of my day. And this special blend of ingredients in Athletic Greens supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, literally all the things. So right now, arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's literally just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you, Real Pod listeners, a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/realpod. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/realpod for a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Don't sleep on those travel packs. I love them. I bring them on the road with me. So head to athleticgreens.com/realpod to pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Just shifting gears a little bit, Sadell, mm-hmm. one thing I want to ask you about, and I know you mentioned briefly your identity is super important to you. It's no secret that you come from a star-studded family, and I'm sure often you're wrapped in with your brothers or your mom or your dad or your sister-in-law, whoever it is. So, and here I am, I hate myself, right, to even bring them up on a show that's about you, but I do it because I think there are people, maybe on a smaller scale, who have, you know, these high achieving siblings or these parents who paved the way or whatever it is. So how have you either worked or grappled to like really feel comfortable in being Sedell Curry, not like Stefan's sister or Aisha's sister-in-law, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So my full, I can give you this long answer about that and how I've gotten to this point. Like, I am a very, very independent person. I have always been like that guy. I've, even in college or high school, like I hated asking my dad for money if I wanted to go to the mall or whatever. And like, I got a job. Like, I've been working a job since I was 15 when I first could, because I like earning my own money. I like being my own person. And whenever anyone was like, oh, you only got to do this because you're Stephen Curry's sister, you only got to do this because you're Del Curry's daughter, or what, Seth Curry's sister, whatever, I always say, like, you can be invited in the room through who you know and by networking. But like, you have to have something to stay in that room. Mm-hmm. You have to have something and be able to give something or show something or be a value of something to stay in that room. Cause you can easily just walk out or be sent out through the same door that you got let in. And so, yeah, I think like, I mean, I've worked so hard, even to a fault, really. Like, there was a point in my life where I didn't resent my family or like try to like not be from them, because we're a family person. Like, we've been raised to be like a very like just all about the family kind of people. We support each other, we do all types of stuff like that. But when all I was hearing was, you get this because of this, you get that because of that, and not because of how hard I worked. Even when like playing volleyball, like, none of my brothers play volleyball, so why do you think that?
Yeah, you're like, how is volleyball coming from my brothers?
I stopped playing basketball, partly because I don't like to run, but also because I wanted to do like my own thing. Like, my mom played volleyball, so I wanted to follow in her footsteps, of course, but I did not want to go to college and people be like, oh, you suck because I wasn't as good as Stefan or Seth or whatever, or being like, oh, you only got on this team because Stefan or Seth. But yeah, I think I had to just stop owning other people's opinions about me. That was another thing. Like, I had to stop taking my identity from what other people were saying, because they don't know me. Like, mm-hmm. You guys, people have literally no idea. I try to be as authentic and genuine as possible about things that I do talk about and things that I do share. But like, nobody really knows me enough to like tell me why I'm where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you have to be able to have something to stay in that room that you are invited to because of who you know.
And I really appreciate the point about not caring what other people are thinking or their opinions of you, because people are always going to have opinions. They're always going to, even if you got an opportunity on your own, someone's going to think it's a family thing. Or if you do, someone might. I mean, it's just ridiculous how often we calculate and think about the way that others will perceive this. And you know, in different ways, like, I've been struggling with merging finances with my soon-to-be husband. Of course, I'm going to, because I want to be a unit. That's important to me. But I know that when we get a house one day, they're going to say, oh, well, he's in real estate and she creates videos on TikTok. Like, they're going to think I don't earn my own money or I don't. Yeah. And, you know, so I think about things like that because we all do, right? And it's so stupid that we're not even in the phase of thinking about a house, and I'm already stressing about how people will judge who paid more for it.
Yeah. Well, okay, first of all, tell me how you got to this point of merging finances. Cause me and my husband, we have a joint account where, like, we have our own individual accounts, and then we have a joint one where we pay stuff for like Daxon or groceries or stuff for the dogs or like stuff that we both get something out of, I guess. That's how you say
right.
it. But like, I physically cannot. Like, I just.
Is it the girl boss mentality, right? If I make my own money, I have my own money.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to be like hiding clothes in the car because I bought it with like, you know, like, I just.
Right. You want to spend your money the way you want without question.
Yes. And like, also, I'm an optimistic person. I 100% believe that me and my husband are going to be together forever. But like, what if we don't?
Well, you're a realist, and you know, and I feel the same way. Like, I don't, there's not a doubt in my mind it's not going to work out with Max. But
yeah.
That's what people say who end up getting divorces, is there wasn't a doubt. And then, you know, something crazy happens. So when you ask me, you know, how did I get to this place? Well, actually, Max's brother really influenced me, just really believes that marriage is like really joining your life with someone else and mm-hmm. you're being a team. And that's part of being married is we yeah. have this pool, like we are working together for the life that we want together. And like part of marriage is those conversations about, you know, where you're spending money and having a conversation and agreeing on it. And I'm actually going to do a podcast with Max about this because I think it is fascinating. Yeah. And just not to spook you, but like statistically speaking, couples have a greater chance at lasting who do merge finances. And it's couples that keep division that end up having more problems down the road because it's still like a you versus me, not a complete hour.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe like we literally never talk about finances like ever. So maybe I'm just like complacent in that point right now in our relationship because like it just is, it has never come up. Like things get paid for. Like I think maybe because we had that joint account. So like both of our money's kind of going into that, percentage of our money's going into that. But like coming from a Christian standpoint too, we did premarital counseling and I was talking to the counselor or it was his pastor, like about that and like my concerns and whatever. And he just kept saying like, well, it's not really your money. It's the Lord's money. So either way, it's like, you shouldn't be possessive over it because it's the Lord's money, period. Yeah. I had actually every intention of joining all our finances. He doesn't pressure me either. Like I said, we don't talk about it, but I had every intention of joining our finances when we had Daxon. And then I went to
for you guys to say you don't talk about it. Is that because it's like it's so comfortable with like your successful careers, which that's great in itself that it's like you're so comfortable and there's such a flow of money that like it doesn't have to get down to the nitty gritty, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think we're just such simple people. Like rent's paid. We're talking about buying a house. Okay. So we want to buy a house this summer because we're just tired of paying rent out here. And I mean, he does make more money than me. And so I don't know. We haven't talked about it. Maybe it'll get serious once we go in a house together. Right now we're just,
you're
kind of
sitting here like, wait, maybe we should talk about this.
But yeah, I mean, like we're so like, as long as things are paid for, we neither of us have an issue with being like, oh, I'll pay for this or I'll pay for that. Like if we go on vacations, that doesn't come out of our joint account. I'll pay for the flight. So he'll pay for like the hotel or whatever whenever we go out to eat, we'll put down the joint card, like stuff like that. But I don't know, maybe it's a privilege. I should acknowledge my privilege right now.
Well, hey, however it works for your relationship, it is different for everyone, but I certainly got spooked by like knowing that couples who merge have like better success rates. But I will say every woman should have a little secret something yes. somewhere because yes. that's important.
Yes. Have your piggy bank.
Yeah. Have your little sparkly pink piggy bank for if ever shit hits the fan. Sidel, thank you so much for coming back on. Not that I didn't love our first conversation, but I am obsessed with this one.
Yes, this is another good one. We can keep doing this over and over
again. I know. I should delete the recording and you should come back. I'm kidding. I'm triggered. Thank you so much. I so appreciate it. It was such a joy to talk to you. I can't wait for everyone to listen to this. And I'm rooting for you and Damien and Daxon and your beautiful family.
Thank you. And congratulations on your wedding. I'm so excited for you.
Thanks.
So amazing.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Pod. If this hit home or helped you in some way, send it to a friend, a teammate, roomie, share the love, share the realness. New episodes of Real Pod come out every single Wednesday. So make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you never miss an episode. To leave a rating or a review of the show, head to iTunes and let me know what you think. I love hearing from you. Not to mention, you can stay connected with Real Pod throughout the week, seeing behind the scenes info and sneak previews of upcoming guests by following the @RealPod account on Instagram. All information about today's show and guests will be linked in the description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. I love you guys so, so much. Let's go dominate the day. And as always, keep it real.